Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass on this Sunday morning. And please know that for our guests, you're more than welcome to join us later today for the Ice Cream Social and the Talent Show. You'll be amazed at the kind of talent that we have here, particularly amongst our children. So it'll be a good and happy day for us. Our condolences today go out to two of our parish families. Trina Moore's brother, Lonnie Leferry, died more than a week ago, and the funeral was last Monday in Tahlequah. And David Burks of our parish, he and his wife, Larice, have been members here for some time. He died on Tuesday at the age of 72 after a long illness. There'll be a rosary for David tonight here at the Madeleine at 7, and his funeral mass will be here at 10 in tomorrow morning. So we pray for the souls of our beloved dead that they will be at rest and at peace and be numbered amongst the saints in Christ. We pray for comfort and consolation for their families and friends. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful that departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Please know that I will be available to hear confessions this week on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 and on Wednesday from 5 to 6. And thank you to everybody who took part in Vacation Bible School this last week. All the children that were there, the older ones that were there to help, all the adults that were there, and a big thank you to Becky Holder, our Director of Religious Education, and all of her faithful followers. All those helping hands that lift the heavy load. Some of the hands are young, some are old, but we got it all put together. I know those all the decorations and everything for Vacation Bible School came down a lot faster than they went up, but they were certainly worth the effort. So thank you. Please keep in your prayers this week all the pilgrims that will be gathering in Poland for World Youth Day with Pope Francis. Among the millions that will be there are 32 from our parish. I mean, sorry. I wish. 32 from our diocese that are there. And so we keep them in our prayers for a safe journey and for a joyful pilgrimage. Our congratulations today go out to Garrett Mosley, who was baptized yesterday morning. He is the son of Eric and Rachel Mosley. Our prayers for all of them as a family, that they will grow in faith, hope, and love to be intentional disciples and faithful witnesses of the Lord. Now, I have some good news to share about my mom, which she has given me permission to share with you. She's been spending some quality time with her youngest granddaughter, who is 15 years old. Now, mom loves to spend time with her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and she likes to teach them many things. And they go to Meemaw, as they call her, for advice, and they also learning how to cook, how to sew, how to knit, and so on. But this time with the 15-year-old has been a little bit different. They've been spending time together studying to pass a driver's test. Now, the granddaughter, she is preparing to become a first-time driver in a few months in the state of Texas. But mom, now, she has driven for decades. But because she's now a resident of Texas and has to get a new driver's license, I'll spare you all the how long this has taken. But they have required her to take a written test and a driving test. Now, the good news is that she has passed both with flying colors. So she now has her newly issued driver's license in the state of Texas, and she's good for the next 7 years before she has to retake anything. But we, for the 15-year-old granddaughter, my youngest niece, please light candles and think good thoughts and so on, that within a few months, when it's her turn to take those tests, that she will also pass with flying colors. You know, there are some things that we do by nature, like breathing. No one has to teach us how to do it. We just do it. It's part of who we are. It's how we are created. It comes natural. Other things we have to be taught how to do, such as to ride a bike, drive a car, learn to drive a truck. We have to learn how to do them. And someone must teach us how to do them so that we can do them well. And some things are a combination of both. And one of those appears to be prayer. How we are to pray. For that is the latest lesson in discipleship that Jesus teaches us today in the gospel reading. He teaches how prayer is crucial to that call to take up the cross, to follow Him, to be disciples, to be His church. We hear today of the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. That's not as if this is a completely foreign idea. For starters, they, as along with every human being, prayer is something that should come natural. It's part of the natural order as God has created it to be for people to seek out what is true, what is beautiful, what is good. And thereby, in that search, they come to know God. And prayer and worship are a big part of this natural desire to be in touch with God. And also, it's not as if the disciples have never prayed up to this point. As part of a Jewish religious culture, they would have known the basic prayers offered for meals. They would have known the prayers that were offered on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, in the temple, on the high holy days. They would have known the prayers of the Passover meal that they will offer with Jesus at the Lord's Supper. They know how to pray in this way. But there is something about how John the Baptist taught his followers to pray that was different. And there is something different in how Jesus prays to God the Father. And so they ask Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And what follows is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. It's something of the shortened version that we hear in Matthew's Gospel, the one that we pray together at Mass, that we pray in the Rosary and our other devotions. And it is the most recognizable and hopefully the most familiar of all Christian prayers. In it, and in the examples that Jesus gives about persistence, seeking and receiving what is offered by the Father and the Holy Spirit, we're taught what prayer is and what it is not. First, for a disciple, prayer is not just thinking nice, happy thoughts about God. Prayer is about trust, about being in love, about being in a relationship, and about being changed by it. The reason the Lord's Prayer is of such importance is that it summarizes what prayer is in a Christian sense. It teaches us, as one priest puts it, how to pray for the right things and in the right way. Prayer is not about telling God what needs to be done. Remember last Sunday's gospel about Martha and Mary and Jesus, Martha telling Jesus what needs to be done, and that's never a good place to be? The prayers offered in the pagan temples of the Romans and Greeks in ancient times, that's pretty much what was going on. It's about getting the deity to do what you wanted to get done. For the disciples of Jesus, however, it must be different. Prayer is not about changing God. Prayer is about changing us. It's about opening our hearts, our minds, to seek the will of God, who created us to be in love with God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, as we heard in that great commandment just a few Sundays ago. And prayer is not about negotiating with God, as if we were trying to get a pay raise or settle a dispute. The pagan Greeks and Romans made offerings in their temples as a type of quid pro quo. I'll make this kind of offering to you in the temple of Zeus or Hera or Jupiter or Minerva, I'll offer that sacrifice in your temple, and in return, I expect you to do the following for me. Now, if you think this is something about ignorant pagans of an ancient time, allow me to put it in a more modern context. Have we ever fallen into the error of seeing God as a divine vending machine? You know, I put in my effort, either through my private devotions, the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Adoration, Liturgy of the Hours, and so on. Or I gather together with my brothers and sisters on Sunday morning for the Liturgy of the Mass, offering our prayers together. And now that I put in my effort, I expect the payout. To think that God owes us because of our prayer is to be in error. That's not how we are to pray. It's not about changing God. It's about changing us. And when we pray, we do so with intention. In today's first reading from the Old Testament book of Genesis, Abraham is not so much trying to strike a bargain with God, although he does a pretty good job of it, going down from 50 to 10. He's not trying to tell God what to do, but rather he is persistent in offering a prayer of petition for the people of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. A little bit of backstory could be helpful. Sodom and Gomorrah were ancient cities whose names became synonymous with extremely immoral behavior. And Abraham has a nephew, his name is Lot, whose wife and daughters live in one of those cities. They're amongst the few of the righteous that are there. Now notice in his persistent prayer of petition, Abraham is not asking just for the safety of Lot and the family. He's not saying, well, God, let all that fire and brimstone rain down on the people in those cities. After all, they deserve it. But just make sure none of it hits Lot and his wife and kids. But instead, he's praying for all the people in those cities in spite of their sins. Abraham appeals to God's mercy. What kind of person does this? The kind of person who desires that sinners not receive their just punishment, but be converted and live. The way a Eastern Orthodox monk in the early 20th century, who's known by the name of Saint Silouan of Athos, he put it this way. He said, "The man who cries out against evil men, but does not pray for them, will never know the grace of God." Our forgiveness, our mercy, our compassion, our prayer of petition cannot be half-hearted. It cannot be conditional. Or otherwise we will never know the glory of God. Think about that prayer of the Lord, the Our Father. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone in debt to us. That is how we are to pray. In prayer, we are to seek persistently the grace of God. For prayer is not merely nice, pious thoughts. We are to pray in trust, in loving relationship with God, and to be changed by it. Prayer should come naturally to us, as natural as breathing. But we need some help to learn how to do it best, to pray as we should. So Jesus teaches us how to pray with minds and hearts open to the love which God has for us, the love which persistently seeks us out, the love that we encounter, as St. Paul tells us, when we were buried with him in baptism, raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. In this faith, in this hope, in this trust, let us pray.